St. Francis of Assisi was once famously quoted as saying, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." Kind of the heart behind it is I think he would be really excited about the things we've talked about so far in this series, that there's pieces of what it means to engage people in and around the message of Jesus that is about praying for them. It is about listening to them, understanding where they're at on their spiritual journey. It's about eating with them, inviting them into your world. It is about serving them, looking for ways to serve them. That's what St. Francis was talking about. I will take issue, though, with the last part of when he says, if necessary, use words. Here's what I would say. It is absolutely necessary for us to use words. The gospel, by definition, it means good news. It is actually a message of who Jesus is, what it is that he's done for us, how we can respond to him, why he came to this earth. It's a message that needs to be shared. This is how the Apostle Paul said it in Romans chapter 10. He says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they've not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." And he closes with this, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." We have to tell his story. We have to share our story. We need to share how his story has intersected our story. We have to use our words. Now, like I said earlier, we spent lots of time talking about all the things that we need to do to bring us to a place where people understand that they are known and loved by us. But there needs to come that time when we explain to them the good news of the gospel. And there's no more powerful way to do that than talking about your story of what Jesus has done in your life. But it's hard, isn't it? If you've ever even wanted to do that, it can be difficult at times, can't it? I know what that's like when you feel that nudge, that prompting from the Holy Spirit where he says, now is the time to say something. And sometimes I'll actually do it and I'll just respond right away, but sometimes there's just like this, and I start asking questions. Instead of obeying the Holy Spirit, I start asking the Holy Spirit questions. Well, what about this? Or maybe this isn't the right time. What if this? What will they think if? All these questions, I can start to argue with the Holy Spirit and my mouth shuts. And I don't tell my story. I don't tell his story. What are the things that cause us to be reluctant? I think that there could be hundreds of things, but as I've engaged with people, the thing that I hear the most from people that keep them from talking to someone about their faith is this: what if they ask questions that I can't answer? I feel that. I think that. And you might be saying, like, dude, you went to seminary for a long time. You've been in ministry for 30 years. I promise you, there are questions, difficult questions that are difficult to answer. And I'm gonna, first of all, tell you something that I think is actually not encouraging at all. Some of the times, the questions that people ask are even more difficult than you think. Because some of the times they will ask a question, and if we assume that those questions are simply intellectual questions or philosophical questions, oftentimes we miss what's really happening in a person. Oftentimes, the questions that they're asking, there is a deeper experiential question, emotional question. There's something they've experienced in and around God or the church or people that has caused them either trauma or caused them to want to step back. Here's what I was told early on in my ministry life. When you're talking with someone about the gospel, make sure make sure you answer the questioner, not just the question. Answer the questioner, not just the question. What do I mean by that? It means that, like I said earlier, oftentimes there is a question beneath the question. There is an experience in their life. And that's why we have to lean in always into that idea of listening, asking questions and listening, and what wondering maybe, what is the question beneath the question? But even if we do that really well, there's another thing that I'm going to tell you that's not very encouraging. You will not ever, you will never, ever have all the answers to challenging questions out there. You will never, ever know the answer to all the challenging questions out there. So if you are thinking, as soon as I know all the answers, then I will speak, I will tell you right now, you will never speak ever about his story and what his story has done in your story. But now for some good news. You'll never have all the answers, but you do have something that's even more powerful than that. You have the Spirit of God that lives in you, that can speak to your heart and can speak to your mind and give you thoughts and ideas and even ways to interact. Here's how Matthew describes it in Matthew chapter 10. When Jesus was talking to his disciples, when he was sending them out, he said this, "But when they arrest you," when they arrest you. Okay, let's just stop right there for a second. We don't live in a culture where if we talk about what Jesus has done in our life, that we are likely to get arrested. But friends, there are places on this planet right now where that's true. There is persecution and prosecution for talking about Jesus. We don't even experience that. We have it way easier than they do right here. But here's the promise anyway. Jesus says, "Do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." Now I don't wanna make this sound like you're in a conversation and suddenly your mind is just filled with necessarily theological or philosophical information that you've never heard before, and you're just saying words that you've never ever said before, or thoughts that you've never thought before. Maybe that could be the case, but what I believe to be true and what I've experienced is that God's Spirit will give us a spirit of how to respond to him. He says, you will know how to say it. You will know how to say things humbly. And sometimes the answer to a really difficult question is just to humbly say, "I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but I would love to explore that with you." And here's what I want to encourage you with as well. Over my lifetime of ministry, I've heard thousands and thousands and thousands of people share their story of how they've come to faith in Jesus. I've racked my brain, and I believe this to be true. I've never heard one time that someone said, "I had all my questions answered, and then I stepped into a relationship with Jesus." Somebody answered every question that I have. And just think about it from your own perspective. You may be sitting in this audience right now as a follower of Jesus. You're all in with him, but you have questions. I have questions, things that I don't know the answer to, that I wonder about. It's like, "Jesus, when I see you one day, I'm gonna ask you about this." We will never have all the answers to all the questions, but you have his Spirit in you. And he can speak in us. He can speak through us. And we need to trust him. Step out. When you feel those nudges, when you feel those promptings, step out and engage people with the message. I want to just give you some thoughts. As I was thinking about this message, I just was thinking, like, what have been some of the most helpful things that I've experienced over my lifetime of trying to engage people in gospel conversations? One of the things that's been helpful for me is when I get nervous, and there's so many times that there's someone that you love and you care about, and maybe you've been doing all these things, praying and listening and eating and serving, but it's somebody that you love. When you actually think about having that conversation, you get nervous. And sometimes when we get nervous, we can get weird and awkward. And so what I do oftentimes is I will just tell someone, I want to share something with you that is deeply meaningful to me. I want to share about what Jesus has done in my life, but I've got to be honest, I'm really nervous right now. I just put it out there and I tell them why I'm nervous. I say, I'm nervous right now because I love you and I care about you and your relationship matters to me, and I'm fearful and nervous that I might say something that would be offensive to you, but I also just want to share with you about something that's deeply personal in my life. Here's been the response of so many people, like almost everyone is just like, absolutely. They understand that the reason that you're uptight is not because you don't care about the message, because you actually care about them. You want them to understand your heart. Be willing to just explain to them why this feels a little bit awkward to you. And I would say this, ask permission. Ask permission to share with them. Just say, this is something that is deeply meaningful and personal to me. Would it be okay if I shared with you about what Jesus has done in my life? And if I sense that there's any kind of reluctance there, I'll even throw in the word, could I share that with you sometime? Like, not meaning like, okay, I'm coming at you right now, but maybe this is something we can talk about sometime. Give them an opportunity to be like, yeah, I would be open to that sometime. And then if by chance they say, no, I'm not open to that. I don't want to hear that. And people have told me, no, here's what you do. You respect their no. You respect their no. Even, I don't care how passionate you are, respect their no. And then you know what you do? You keep on blessing them. You keep praying for them. You keep listening to them, eating with them, serving them. People, I'm gonna say this over and over, people are not projects. It's not like, oh, I got a wall, like I'm moving on. I'm done with you as a project because I didn't get you across the finish line of faith. No, you continue to love and to bless them. And when you get to the place where you just feel like, I want to explain who Jesus is and why he came, there's so many different kinds of questions that we can ask. But I don't believe, in my estimation, that there's a better question that we can ask than this one. If you were to stand before God and he were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? If you were to stand before God and he were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? And here's why I believe this is such an important question, is it just narrows down in a person's mind what they believe God wants from them. What is it that God is looking for from them? And here's what we need to do. In that moment, we've got to help people understand, this is what I believe that people need to understand, is the difference between the good news and human religion. They need to understand the difference between the good news and human religion. And this question helps surface that as well. Because here's the thing that's true. The good news is a completely different paradigm than human religion. And I will tell you this, most people outside of the church don't understand that. They just don't. And you know what else is true? A lot of people inside the church actually don't understand this as well. Here, let me try to help you understand the difference. When we think about human religion, we think about this. We think about the word do. What do I need to do? And there's different ways that human religion expresses itself. There's lots of different ways, but kind of the theme or the thread that runs through human religion, religions of the world, is that I relate to God by being good. Whatever it is defined by good. By God, I relate to him by being good, meaning that I need to perform for him. I need to obey him. And if I do that, if I am good, obey, and perform up to his standards, then I am accepted by him. Then I receive his acceptance. The good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ is completely different than that. In fact, it is actually diametrically opposed to what I just shared with you. The message of Jesus is that in him, I am accepted. I am accepted fully. Not because of what I do, but because of what he has done. That's the difference between the good news and human religion. Human religion is about do. The good news is about done. I focus on what Jesus has done for me. I am fully accepted. And from that place of complete acceptance with him, I live a life of obedience to him, out of gratitude, out of joy in my life. I am fully accepted, so I respond gratefully with my obedience. Religion, the do. Religion is about do. It means that I give God something. I give him my obedience, and in response, God gives me my acceptance. That is do. And if I give God my obedience, that means that God owes me stuff in this life. That is completely different than the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news is that God gives you something to start with. He gives you a gift of acceptance with him, free gift, eternal life, life with him. He gives it, and out of our response, we live in obedience out of gratitude to him. Human religion is about do. I need to do to a certain level. Human religion tells us I need to be better than other people. And if I am better than other people, then I get God's acceptance. Christianity is fundamentally different. The only way that we can move in to that acceptance from him is when we come to that place where we realize we are not better than anybody else on the planet. We're not better than anyone. Every one of us deserves to be separated from God for eternity. But God, in his grace, has poured out his kindness into our life through Christ. We are just a beggar telling another beggar how to find bread. That is the difference between human religion and the good news. And so when we want to talk with people about the good news, here's where we focus, friends. We focus on what Jesus has done, who he is, why he came, what was accomplished for us on the cross. How do we make a decision to respond to him in gratitude and surrender to him for what he's done for us? We focus on what's been done, not on what we do. I want to come back to that question. If you were to stand before God and he were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? If the answer from someone is, well, I've done this, I've tried, I've been a pretty good person, I'm better than, they miss it. They don't understand. The only answer is for us, if we were to stand before God, is to say, this is what Jesus did. This is what Jesus did for me. It's the only answer that makes sense according to the gospel. I don't think that's how it happens. I don't think we stand before God in that way, but it helps clarify the only thing for any of us is to put our rest and our trust in what Jesus has done for us. So with that being said, I want you to try to imagine yourself trying to communicate things like that, do versus done, to someone in a gospel conversation. There are some different roads that conversation can go on. And I just want to highlight these because I want you to understand if you find yourself in this place in a conversation, you're on the wrong road. If the question around the gospel is about morality, if they start asking questions about, well, if I become a follower of Jesus, do I need to do this? Do I have to stop doing this? They're missing the point. Now, I am not saying that morality is not important. I'm just saying it is not the gospel. We need to focus on who Jesus is and what he's done. If you find yourself in a gospel conversation and people are bringing up social issues, they're bringing up politics, you are on the wrong road. Why do you think people bring up social issues and politics as it relates to our faith? Here's what I believe. I believe that many followers of Jesus are way more vocal, way more passionate about social issues and their politics than they are about the cross of Jesus Christ. We've got to stay focused on who it is that Jesus is and what it is that he's done for us. And you know what else is a wrong road to be on? Is if the conversation is around church. Are you trying to sell them on church or attending church or our church? No, that's not what it's about either. It is about following Jesus. It is about surrendering because of what he has done for us. Now, I'm going to say this just so I make it really clear and don't get a ton of emails. Morality is important. Social issues are important. Politics are important. Church is important. All those things are important. I'm just saying they're not the central thing to the gospel. We have to help people understand the central thing to the gospel, who Jesus is, why he came, what he accomplished for us, how can we respond to him? And another wrong road that I just want to warn you about is if you find yourself in a place where you're arguing, if in any way your voice starts to raise, your blood pressure starts to raise, you find yourself getting frustrated, stop. Stop. You are on the wrong road. Stop and say, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. This is not how Jesus would want me to communicate about him. He would want it to be compassionate and kind and patient and humble. And I'm not any of those things right now. Would you please forgive me? Stop. It is not about an argument. You can win an argument and not win a person. Don't go down the road of arguing. And I'm going to say it again. When we argue, it comes from a place of thinking that we are better than somebody else. And we're not. We're not smarter than them. We're not better than them. We're not more deserving than they are. We're not more worthy than they are. When we really understand the gospel ourselves, we realize that we are just a beggar. We are just a beggar before a holy God telling another beggar how we found bread. Don't argue. Okay, here's your assignment. I want you to think about your story. I want you to think about your story of how Jesus intersected your life. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to write your story out. And here's how I want you to write your story in three parts. The first part is my life before Jesus. Like, what was your life like before you knew Jesus? What were the things that you were thinking? How was it that you were living? What was your worldview at that time? Part two, how I met Jesus. What were some of the specific things that were happening in and around your life that caused you to say, I want to follow Jesus with my life? And let me just give you, I know that there are some of you that you just grew up in the church. You don't have any memories really outside of the church. But oftentimes, there's that time in your life when you actually committed fully to follow after him that maybe came later in your life. Talk about that. What is it that caused you to go all in with him? The third part of your story is my life since I met Jesus. What difference has Jesus made in your life? How has knowing him impacted you in any way? And here's just a couple of thoughts. Just be you. When you tell your story, just be you. Speak the way that you would normally speak. Write it in the way that you would normally speak. Keep it real. Don't try to sugarcoat anything, downplay anything, or even try to overdramatize anything. Just share the things that happened, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Just the authenticity of our own story speaks to the hearts of people. Keep it real. And lastly, I would say keep it short. This needs to be something that you can share in a matter of minutes. You know, this isn't a sermon. This isn't an autobiography. This is just a simple telling of the way that Jesus interacted and intersected your life. And so here's what I decided to do with this sermon that I thought would be fun. I actually recorded a video of a friend and I just asked him to share his story of how he came to faith. And I just want to tell you this. I did no coaching with him. I didn't tell him anything like, you should say this. No coaching, no anything. Just tell me your story. I want you to hear my story, or his, Tony's story. Tony, hey, thanks so much for being here today. We've walked a lot of life together and have experienced a lot in and around our faith together. And I just wanted to ask you a few questions and get a chance to hear your story of how God has worked in your life.
I was raised in a church family from a really young age. And I went to a church school and did everything I think I was supposed to. And it got to the point when I was actually in college, I really began to question being part of that church.
Yep.
And it led to me probably my freshman year of college, just deciding, no, that was the end of it. And I really was not an active part of any church whatsoever until, substantially later on in life, when I went through some personal changes that were really big. I had a real good buddy of mine, and we fished together, and he was not pushy at all, but he was willing to share with me. And he fished frequently with the pastor, and I was invited to go fishing with him. And I think I said something along the lines of, I'm just not real sure about religion and God. And I'll never forget, he looked at me and he said, sometimes I'm not either.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't, just kind of blew me away. And I said, well, I thought maybe you wouldn't like, me fishing with you guys. He said, come on, that's not a problem. We're going to have fun. We're going to enjoy it. If you want to talk about things, that's great. And if you don't, that's fine too. And I had never been around any kind of church where that was the attitude. And I moved to Bozeman about 10 years ago, but it was kind of lonely.
Yeah.
But then I heard about Journey and I came to Journey by myself and it just struck a chord. And I was expecting to be judged, but I wasn't judged at all. Then you guys talk about it. It doesn't matter where you're at on your journey of faith. Sometimes at certain times, like Baptism Sunday, I was like this close to coming up impromptu. I didn't. And there were some people I spent some time with along the way that I talked about, just kind of like I felt kind of this tug, and I really couldn't put a name to it at all.
Right.
And these two people told me that's Jesus calling. And that gave me food for thought, and it ended up that they totally had it right.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, my professional career, I was in charge, and I felt a lot of pressure, and I was very controlling of my whole life.
Yeah.
And every facet of it. And for me to give up any control, my friend Scott in Colorado Springs said he was never more free than when he gave let go of the handlebars. That's the phrase he used.
Yeah.
And I could not even begin.
I love that picture.
I me too. Just like let go of the handlebars. And I couldn't even begin to be in that place at all.
Yep.
You and I talked and we kind of became, friends a little more. And I actually got invited to go on a backpacking trip with you and your family and some close friends. But I knew, feeling something is never as strong as when I'm outdoors.
Yeah.
And on a river or hiking and just feeling the enormity of everything around me. And so actually I was kind of nervous about going up because I was going to get barraged with, religious fervor. But you know what? Everybody's just kind of a normal person. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
I get it.
And everybody was hanging around and I remember just a quiet afternoon in camp and people were napping, and I went down to the river to Slough Creek, and I put my chair in the creek. And if you recall the view that we have of those cliffs, I mean, it's magnificent. Just the whole thing is stunning. And I was just sitting there, and this tug was just coming up, like this tsunami was just like coming up within me. I was crying a little bit, and I was fighting this. And finally, I said, very simply, I give. And so I thought this might be a good time for me to kind of have more of a commitment. So I went over to camp, and I had the thought that I was going to ask you to baptize me. And honestly, I almost didn't, because I felt bad about having you work on your vacation. I almost didn't. And so I went over, and I said, I wonder if you could help me with something. And you said yes. And I said, well, I want to be baptized. And there was dead silence for just a sec. And then you said, really? And you guys hopped to it. And we went down to this really cool pool in the river. And you baptized me. And I was just, I had just had this feeling, this, like that finally, you know, I was letting go of the handlebars.
Yep.
We walked back to camp, and there was a fire going, but I was just sitting there, and I was shaking uncontrollably. I've never had a feeling like that ever. It was just this emotion, and everybody came up, and you guys all put your hands on me and prayed over me, and then I kind of settled down. And that's kind of the story of kind of how I came to accept Jesus. My life is really, really different. Before, it kind of felt like there was a scorecard, and I had to rack up the scorecard, and then I was gonna, okay, let's see the scorecard.
Yeah.
But because right off the bat, you're forgiven. That's like an assumed thing already.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, no, you're forgiven up front. And, you know, I feel God all around me now.
Yeah.
And I'm a much happier person.
Yeah, I've loved getting to walk alongside what God was doing in your life. It's been an incredible joy. I was just thinking of that first time that we sat down for lunch when you made the comment, I can't believe that I'm actually considering the fact that there might be a God. And I just think that you felt willing to be able to say, this is where I'm at on my journey right now.
Probably your most type A resistant personality. And maybe I was jaded from my experience, you know, when I was a youngster. But this is such, it's such a different experience where don't worry, you're forgiven already. That's a given. Like you're starting on like third and a half base right there. Or you're starting on home base, really. For me, it's just, I mean, this is just a wonderful church home for me. And I never really thought I'd have a church home.
Well, I'm glad it's your home.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be here.
I love it. Well, you heard it here first. Journey owes me a vacation day. So come to find... I just wanted to make some observations. Like I said, I didn't coach Tony, and I think you should say this, or he just shared his story, but there's some things that I think are powerful in there. What does it look like for us to surrender to Jesus? I think sometimes in our culture, we have this, well, you need to pray a prayer, or raise a hand, or walk an aisle, and that's really not true. You know, it's the Bible says that if anyone would come after Jesus, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. They simply come to the place where they say, I give. I give. My life is yours. I'm letting go of the handlebars. I'm putting your hands on the handlebars. It's a cool little picture, but it is theologically profound. When I listened to that story, he talked over and over about that tug. We edited some things down, but he just talked over and over about that tug. Friends, we are doing this with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is moving in the lives of people that you love and care about. Trust that the Holy Spirit will do that. Those tugs are there. Those promptings are there. One of the things I loved about his story is that it wasn't just littered with a lot of theological jargon. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It wasn't Bible verses and theological jargon. It was just my story of how I came to faith. And I loved the way that he talked about forgiveness, kind of this do versus done idea. He said, forgiveness, it's a given at the beginning. And it really made me laugh when he just said, you know, you start at like 3.5 bases. And then he's just like, well actually, it's like all the way, because it's done. It's all done. Jesus hits the home run for you. We just put our faith and our trust in him. And I thought that was a beautiful way to say it in his words. And the thing that really struck me is that his story happened over a long time. I don't know, I wanna ask Tony when I see him. I haven't asked him, but his friend and that pastor, like, do they know what he's done, where he's at with the Lord? They were just a blip on the radar screen of his life's people that were choosing to bless Tony's life decades ago. We need to be in this for the long haul with people. We need to trust that the Holy Spirit is working in a process in people's lives. We don't have to try to rush the process in people's lives. In fact, I think when we try to rush that process, that's when people feel like projects and not people. We need to trust the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to close with this verse, John 16, 7 and 8. Jesus says, but truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. That's Jesus' way of saying the Spirit tugs. The Spirit tugs. So if you feel pressure to try to change somebody's life, to try to change somebody's heart, you need to sit back and say, I can't. As much as you may want to, as much as you may love to, as much as you want them to meet the Jesus that you know, you can't change a heart, but you can bless people. You can pray for them. You can listen to them. You can eat with them. You can serve them, and you can share your story with them. Be a part of the process of what God is doing in the lives of people. Here's my last ask. I want you to write your story. I want you to take the time to write your story. And now some of you are right now are just saying, you know, my story's not cool. I was just maybe a little kid and it's not dramatic. And you're thinking, I'm not gonna write my story. Write your story. Even if you think, I'm never gonna share my story with anyone, write your story, at least to remember. Remember what it was that Jesus did in your life. Go back to that place when he changed your world forever. Write your story. And I'm gonna increase the ask a little bit more. I don't want you to just write your story. I want you to send it to me. I wanna read your story. I wanna hear your story. Our staff wants to read your story. Here's what I'm gonna ask you to do. I'm gonna put my email address up there. bob@journeybozeman.com. I want you to take the time to write out a brief description, so that I have the opportunity to read all of them. We have the opportunity to read all of them, but I want you to send it to me. Take the time to do it so that you can tell it often and you can tell it well. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for rescuing us. Thank you for giving us a story. Jesus, we understand that in our own eyes, maybe the stories don't seem huge, but they're huge to you because they cost you everything so that we could have a story. Jesus, we want to tell your story and how your story has intersected our story so that the world would know, that they would know who you are, that they would know why you came, that they would understand what you accomplished for them on the cross, and they would know how to bow their knee to you and simply say, I give. Jesus, we trust you. Use our story for your glory. And it's in your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.